Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Voice of China and Asia broadcast with Bob and Helen Hammond.
Work for the night is coming, work through the morning hours, work while the dew is sparkling, work mid springing flowers.
That is the intro to the Voice of China and Asia radio broadcast hosted by Bob Hammond, the uncle of my very special guest today, who is Jonathan Brooks, president of Voice of China and Asia Missionary Society. And that radio broadcast was on the air for 46 years,
yes,
Jonathan.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And before we started, you mentioned that most of our older listeners, at least, have heard that intro somewhere in the United States.
That's right. It used to be a nationwide broadcast.
Well, what happened is when we were preparing that clip, I listened to the rest of that particular broadcast from about 40 years ago, and your uncle started to tell the story of being a prisoner of war back in the early 1940s. And, I mean, there's nothing better than hearing it from the man himself. So we're going to play an extended clip from that particular broadcast we just heard the intro to, and then we'll talk about it, of course. But this was aired on October 30th, 1986. And again, this is Reverend Hammond sharing about his own life.
Greetings, friends. This is Bob Hammond. And as we bring you another broadcast, we pray for you. And we ask that you pray for us, for prayer changes things. I was called to China as a missionary, and I had a struggle as a teenager with a call. And finally I said, yes, Lord, I'll go to China if you will go with me. You see, my parents were faith missionaries. We lived by faith. And many and many a time, we only had two meals a day. There's a song written, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." But there is a missionary version to that song. It says, "What He Feeds Me, I Will Swallow." And it was as a teenager I learned what it meant to have the grace of the Lord to help us even while we ate. But, you know, we didn't starve, we didn't die. Yes, we went hungry. But I find now as I look back that hunger at times is a very good thing. At least it says that you're healthy. It does say you want something to eat. But when it keeps going on, you're hungry all the time. We're hearing so much about China today, and some of the news reports saying how everybody's working, everybody's fine. You know, if you had to be in China and you were working in a rice field and you realize that all the fertilizer of China does not go down the sewer or someplace, but it's all used, even the horses and the cows and the pigs and everything, for fertilizer. And you look over a rice field, and you'll see maybe some of this in the TV reports where the Chinese are working so industriously and they're allowed to keep now some of their products. Under Mao Zedong, everything went to the government and then they dished out a little to you. And if you didn't give everything to them, they killed you or they worked you to death without anything to eat. Today, you are allowed to keep enough for the family and to eat and for your labors, and then go ahead and do the business of selling. But you see, before you can have anything to eat or product, you have to work for it. And so many millions of Chinese are farmers, and they use the water buffalo to plow the land. And as they work in the rice field, taking the rice plants, planting them by hand in all the rows, what do you think they're standing in all the time? And if you could go with me out to some of these areas that I've been to in the years gone by, you say, why don't you do it now? Because the farmers have been moved back and back and back, and the land has been taken over by governments to build high-rise buildings and refugee camps, all the houses for the poor and those that don't have anything. So you could go with me. And if you did, out in the New Territory area, and you stayed overnight in one of the farmers' houses, and this is the same way in China, I don't think you could really, even now, any of you, except you who have lived there and come to America, can realize the simplicity of the Chinese people, of one small house to house several families. A 9x12 room having one family there sleeping on the floor. You have all of the pigs outside and the ducks and chickens, and during the daytime they come in and they go out and so forth. You can't keep them out. The houses aren't strong enough. And they don't have enough barbed wire fences for all of that. But you get accustomed, I'm sure, when you live in the where the farmers are, and out in the rice fields, you get accustomed to the fragrant odors. I put a quote and unquote on fragrant. After a while, you don't even notice that there are any odors. But you see, one thing about it, it does grow good rice. And friends, I've had the privilege in my 72 years of traveling, especially since 1939, when I finally was allowed by the Lord to have a wife and go out as a missionary to Hong Kong. And I was in a prison camp for 6 months, Stanley Prison in Hong Kong. And there we learned to survive. There we learned what hunger was. There we learned that every grain of rice is so important. There we learned that food had to be properly distributed. We learned that you just couldn't drink any kind of water. I don't know why, but somehow the Lord gave me a gift to talk to some of the men that were not Christians, to get into a fight to get all the Japanese guards over to stop the fight. And during the meantime, some of us little fellows would escape over the barbed wire down into the ocean front and bring up the salt water, and then we would take it on the roof where we'd put out a tin and put the water there. You know why? Because the water was evaporated and on the tin was left all the salt, so at least we had a little salt to put on our food, because we had no flavorings, no salt or pepper or anything like that. And so you see, you learn under adverse conditions how to survive, just like the Israelites learned under Moses' leadership how to take the land in the name of God Almighty. And so today, I just want to tell you, I'm glad I'm alive. Helen and I are supposed to have been dead 40 years ago, because when we were delivered from prison camp and come home on the Gripsholm and the first exchange prisoners of war, we both had beriberi and pellagra. We were skin and bones. Everybody wanted me to come to their churches because they wanted to see what a skeleton looked like, I guess. I didn't know that at the time. But I did have a message. I had a story. And the story was that Jesus Christ never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. When you stand in front of machine guns to be shot, and somehow they never pull the trigger and you're alive. Yes, friends, I'm talking to you today from my heart to let you know that what the Lord did for me yesterday, He'll do for me today, and I don't have to worry about tomorrow, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, not only cleanses us, but then He sends His Holy Spirit, and He sends angels. Did you realize that? That the angels of the Lord encampeth around about those who love Him, and He delivereth them.
That is a clip from October 30th, 1986, the radio broadcast of Voice of China and Asia Missionary Society, and that is Bob Hammond, the president at that time, the second generation. I've got the third generation president with me today on the roadshow. I'm David Warren, talking with Jonathan Brooks. And by the way, for more information on this beautiful ministry, it's voiceofchinaandasia.com, voiceofchinaandasia.com. And you know, I've been in radio for about 40 years now, Jonathan, and there's just something special about that style of broadcasting that your uncle had. It's captivating.
He was a pioneer of Christian radio back in the 70s. There just weren't that many people on. You couldn't even find a Christian radio station back then. You had to buy time on a secular radio station.
Well, tell us about, or more about, this experience of being in a prisoner of war camp back in the early 1940s. Now, your uncle and aunt were put in prison.
That's right.
As well as your grandparents?
All of them, and other missionaries who were working with them in Hong Kong at the time.
Okay, now this was following the Japanese invasion of Hong Kong.
That's right. Many people don't realize that Hong Kong was bombed the same day Pearl Harbor was bombed. And so immediately our family went into hiding in an apartment behind the church. And after about 40 days or so, they realized that the people who were bringing them food were subjecting their lives to death. And so they realized that they can't put the believers that they love so much in these circumstances. And so they decided to surrender to the Japanese.
And were they arrested for being American?
Foreigners, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. They turned themselves in. They came out of their out of hiding in the apartment, and turned themselves in, and they were escorted. They were told to gather their belongings as much as they can carry. They were allowed to take to the prison camp, and so they began a process of putting on just layers and layers and layers of clothes, everything that they could fit over whatever else they had on. And put things on little carts and things like that. Even their mattresses they carried to prison camp.
So when you were growing up, Jonathan, I'm sure you were mesmerized as a boy by these stories of your family members being in prison. Is this something that was difficult for them to talk about, being such a dark period in their life?
No, I think everybody was drawing it out of them. They wanted to know what was going on in China, and having experienced it firsthand, the Hammonds could certainly tell the story. He was exhausted from going to so many appointments. They couldn't keep all the appointments, and that's why a Jewish man suggested that they go on his radio station.
It's a lot easier to get into homes and cars. I mean, to get people's attention, it's a lot easier with radio and television, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Speaking of that, and I want to go back to this being in prison, but what is the situation with Christian radio in China? Does it exist at all?
Oh, no, I don't believe it does. There are, if somebody has a shortwave radio, they might be able to capture something from the Far East Broadcasting Company. But that would be very rare for a rural believer to have a shortwave radio. I'm sure it exists, but other than that, there is no Christian broadcasting inside China. Some of the major churches during COVID were allowed to put their services on the internet because people could not come to church. But they realized that people stopped coming to church because they can listen to the broadcast online, so they stopped coming to church. So they actually, the church leaders decided to take that offline so that people would come back to church.
Well, I believe in both, so that's just my own personal opinion. But so how long was your family in this prisoner of war camp?
I believe it was about 7 months. And then the U.S. government and the Japanese government decided to exchange prisoners of war. And that's what brought them back to the States, is they were included in an exchange program. Americans were, but not the British. And the British, Hong Kong being a British colony at the time, the British suffered very severely after my uncle's departure, the Americans' departure.
Wow. So did they decide to come back to the United States, at least for a time?
Oh, definitely. They had no choice. They were put on a ship. It took them, of course, you had to be careful of the German U-boats in the Atlantic. And so they took them by way of Africa and then to Brazil and then up to New York, always cautious, knowing that the ship could be sunk.
This sounds like a movie to me.
It's very good material for a movie.
Well, maybe it should be called Bondservants, because that's the name of the book I'm holding in my hand. It's The Story of the Voice of China and Asia. And this is a book that you give to anybody who supports your ministry and will tell you about how you are supporting the people of China with Bibles and other things that are very desperately needed. But this book, Bondservants, what can somebody read about in this particular book?
Well, it's their entire story from the beginning of God's call on their lives to China and answering the mission call. There was a great missions call to the whole world in the early 1900s. There'd been a missions conference in Edinburgh in 1910, and they just realized that we can't wait for God to save all the sinners. We've got to spread the gospel. We've got to go ourselves. And then when the power of Pentecost came, people were willing to do anything for the Lord at that point.
I love that. Now, this book, again, is free to anybody who supports your ministry. And again, we'll tell how you are supporting people in China with your different outreaches. So how can people reach out to you and get a copy of Bond Servants?
Oh, we'd love to hear from folks, especially if they've been a friend of the ministry in the past. And some people don't know that we still exist. So they're welcome to write to us. Our address is Post Office Box 702015, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74170. Or they're welcome to call our office at 877-392-0560.
And we have people tuned in really around the world, but mostly here in the United States. And of course, anybody with internet access can go to your website, and that address again is?
VoiceOfChinaAndAsia.com.
And lots of lovely pictures on there.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. So when we come back, I'm going to talk with Jonathan Brooks about the fruit of both the Wrightons and the Hammonds, their time in China, and how this third generation of leadership headed by today's guest is not only carrying on their legacies, but continuing to win China for Christ. We'll both be back after this.